You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring attorney, guest, and former felony prosecutor Eric Fadis.
More questions and answers on the trial of Karen Reed as more experts take the stand and more experts disagree with other experts. Joining me to discuss, Eric Fadis, former prosecutor and defense attorney. Let's start there. How frustrating is it as an attorney when you have your expert come in, they have their expert come in, and neither can really make any sort of cohesive expert judgment on something? Because that seems to be what we're seeing here in the Karen Reed trial.
Yeah, no, I know. Sometimes I use the word expert in quotation marks because, you know, if they are both drawing opposite conclusions or no firm conclusion at all, how is the jury supposed to take that? What are they supposed to do with that?
Yeah, it kind of makes everything null and void, does it not? I mean, the expert is there to answer the question and to give some sort of insight. But if you're an expert and you say this happened and the other says the other happened, yeah, I mean, that doesn't give any direction to the jury.
These battles of the experts have been going on for ages, and they're supremely frustrating, not only for lawyers, but definitely for juries. And, you know, juries really got to look at which expert they believe, what expert has the better background and qualifications, what expert's opinions align with other objective evidence in the case. I think that one's key.
How important is it for the experts to present well?
You know, I think it's critical because a jury, you know, they hear it early on in opening statements, it's going to be an expert. Oh, they're an expert. They're going to be, you know, they're going to know everything about it and be totally above board and articulate and everything else. And that doesn't always happen. And so you have this expectation in the jury's mind as to what an expert is going to be. And you really want the expert to meet that standard.
And sometimes you get that. And we saw that like in the Murdaugh case, some experts came in and really helped reconstruct that scene and it made a lot more sense. In this case, the prosecution brought in Trooper Paul as the expert on what was going on, and it didn't go quite well. Let's take a look.
Based on your reconstruction, nearly 2-year investigation, exactly how was that taillight shattered?
How does the taillight, what do you mean? So the taillight in this case was shattered when it was struck John O'Keefe's arm. Based on what I saw for his injuries, was from the upper part of his arm down.
He gets hit by the car, not his torso, just the arm. The taillight cracks, and as it passes by, his arm stays with it long enough to get striations, those scratches that we see, those abrasions that we see, right?
In a sense, yes.
And at the same time, he does a pirouette and flies 30 feet to his final point of rest.
I don't know if he did a pirouette.
Well, I'm using the word pirouette. He spun around.
He started rotating counterclockwise.
It's a good attorney there. I enjoyed the pirouette comment that added a little animation to a horrible, horrible situation. Trooper Paul, if you watched a lot of it, we're not going to play it just to, you know, kick the man while he's down. But he didn't present very well or being very confident in anything that he was saying up there. How do you think it played to the jury?
No, totally. And, you know, when we have these accident reconstructionists, oftentimes you can get an engineer, you can get someone, a biomechanical expert, you can get someone who kind of has that sciencey background, and sometimes that plays better. But here, the trooper's not even able to say, like, how this body flew 30 feet in the air while it's rotating or something. It just seems so far-fetched, so detached from the actual evidence from the scene that I think a lot of jurors are going to question it.
It certainly, he did nothing but create reasonable doubt, really no confidence. And even if his information was accurate, the way it was delivered was so, I think, detrimental. Again, I don't want to kick the man when he's down, but my God, why did they put him on the stand? I mean, don't you like talk to your expert witnesses before? Don't you have some sort of semblance of what you're going to be getting when they're up there?
You know, you would think so, and especially with such a high-profile case, you know it's going to be on TV. It's been going on for weeks and weeks. My gosh, have a prep session. Have get this guy ready for what he's expected to testify to, and so that you know as the attorney. And here he kind of was just fumbling for answers, not really able to answer the more difficult questions about what happened.
he couldn't find just basic words. I mean, I feel for the guy. He's obviously there's some sort of anxiety or something going on there. He's not good at public speaking, but my goodness. Dr. Russell also testified about bite marks. That's still going on, bite marks, on John's arm. And I want to get your thoughts on that after we take a look at this.
Based on your review of all of those materials, were you able to confidently come to any conclusions or opinions about the nature of the injuries suffered by John O'Keefe, specifically as they relate to John O'Keefe's right arm?
Yes.
What is your opinion and conclusion concerning those injuries?
Those injuries appear to be consistent with an animal attack.
Can you be more specific in terms of the type of animal, or are you relegated to simply an animal attack?
Well, they are consistent with a large dog attack. There's a combination of both what I consider bite wounds and scratch wounds on the arm. There were also some puncture wounds in that shirt.
And are the
I'm sorry, puncture wounds in the shirt?
Puncture holes in the shirt.
And on what do you base the opinion that the injuries are consistent with dog bite or scratch marks?
Well, the patterns. There are several patterns of parallel wounds that appear to be superficial scratches that could have been caused by nails or could have been caused by teeth. There are different angles on the arm and different locations on the arm. But they're generally oriented in a specific direction. And there's also an area, the distal forearm, which is close to the wrist, which shows what I believe is an arch area of teeth marks.
And what's the significance of the arch area?
Well, so the arch would be the front area of the jaw of the animal, or the dog in this case, where the teeth are tend to be close together and curved. There's a curved pattern to the configuration of the teeth.
So no dog DNA found, but bite marks supposedly. Where are they going with this?
That's a fair question. You know, are they going to conclude that it was Cujo who came and killed John O'Keefe in a mauling attack, that this, pretty formidable police officer? I'm not sure we get there, but I think where they're going is reasonable doubt. They're kind of saying, hey, there's other experts who have plausible explanations for these injuries that don't involve Karen Reed. And you don't have to completely accept them, jury, but if you believe that they have merit, that is likely translates into reasonable doubt.
But what is the reasonable doubt here? He wasn't killed by a dog attack. We know that. Like, there's nothing about this that shows it was a dog attack that actually took his life. I mean, there may be some evidence here that shows an animal came up and bit him. But I can say this, I have a giant woods near my house. If I put a corpse in my backyard, you're probably going to get some animals out there in a few hours that are going to start smelling that and maybe taking some bites. I'm not trying to be crude, but that just seems to be like, maybe coyotes, maybe something like that, because there is a forest right there.
It's a very fair point. And, I think it could be a measure calculated to just highlight discrepancies, uncertainties, to raise questions. And sometimes that is enough, because the defense doesn't have to prove how John O'Keefe died. Essentially, they just have to establish that there's doubt as to the nature of that death. And I think this is just a piece of that.
There's a lot of pieces to this thing, I think we're always looking for the end game on some of these, of like, okay, well, what are you trying to prove? And in some cases, I don't think anything. It's just simply doubt. That's what we're trying to prove. All we're trying to do is doubt.
Now you're talking like a defense attorney.
Yeah. I hang out with them far too much.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else? become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.